So you have to excuse, I have a little raspy voice. I told my daughter last night, I couldn't tell her a long bedtime story because I got this voice thing. And I told her I was losing my voice, and she kind of looked at me, kind of like, I'll find your voice for you. She walked off, ran looking for it. So I hope she finds it soon. We're running out of time here, Eddie. No, I'm just kidding. No, but she's there. My kids are little. They got the cold thing, the stuffy nose. So anyway, I want to tell you guys something. It's vulnerable, but I'll do it because we're all friends here, and you guys are really good at keeping secrets. But I still have a fear in my life that I'm a fully grown man. I'm 33. I got two kids, married, but I'm still afraid if I go to bed at night and I shut the lights out in my house and my bedroom, and there's any part of my body that's not in the bed sheets, in the covers, any part sticking out, we're not having that. Not at all. You know, I will drown in a pool of my own sweat. It could be 120 degrees. I am not sticking any part of my body out of the covers at night. I'd say goodnight to Hannah. I'm like, goodnight, Hannah. We just go under a cocoon. Because for those of you that know, have the same thing, you get it. You understand. Like if someone comes in to rob your house, they open that door to your bedroom and you see your leg hanging out there. You know what they're going to do. They're just going to run up to it and if you don't have this fear in your life, you're welcome. Now you do. Tonight when you go to bed, you're welcome. No, seriously, I don't know what it is. I think, like, honestly, in my head, if the guy comes in, he looks in the room, and he sees this all covered up, he's like, bummer. All right, next house. We're going to the next house. They got their covers on, so what are we going to do? Right? No? No one else has this. Okay, we're done here. Let me pray. We're done. No, I'm just kidding. But I do. This is one little fear. It's a little fear. You know, I know. Fears, are they affect our life, and this is one that affects me. You know, I just don't sleep as good. But in all seriousness, fears can be deep. That's a powerful emotion, right? Like, fear drives a lot of stuff in our life. We don't even realize how much fear drives us. Even some of our success or our hard work ethic might even come out of fear. We have sometimes really debilitating things we can't do or can do because of fear. And I just believe this. We're finishing up our Veterans of Faith series, which is what's the secret sauce to standing the test of time as we walk the long road of life, the marathon that can be the ups and downs of different seasons of life. How do we survive that? How do we get through it? What are the veterans of faith from Scripture? What do they have to teach us about enduring and surviving that? And I will tell you that one of them has a lot to do with fear. I believe this. I believe that bad fears can hamstring you big time. You got some bad fears. I'm gonna ask that we leave here today and we leave two bad fears here. We don't walk out of here with them. I'm gonna ask God's word to do that. I'm gonna ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to do that in our hearts today, to just loosen our grip on two fears that we should walk away out of here and not bring with us when we go home today. But there is one fear. Yeah, there is one fear in the Bible that I believe we want to acquire today. I know it sounds so countercultural, but the Bible does talk about one very healthy fear, and it is the fear of the Lord. And I know even just saying it, you're like, well, unpack that, and I will in the second half of the message. First, I want to start with the bad fears. Let's first start there. What are the bad fears? Here's the first bad fear I want us to leave behind today, and I've alluded to it already. It's the fear of being afraid of fear. And it's this, let me rephrase that. It's being afraid of being afraid. You ought to not be afraid of being afraid. Here's why. The fear, the emotion of fear is uncomfortable, right? It's not comfortable to be afraid. So in our culture, in our American culture, anything that's uncomfortable, we don't want anything to do with, right? If it's uncomfortable, I'm out. I'm not doing this. And so we can, in a sense, have this fear of being uncomfortable. And fear is an uncomfortable feeling. And what I'm asking us to do today is I'm asking us to set that fear aside. And let's be comfortable or be okay with being uncomfortable in fear. Because fear can be, and we see this in Scripture, there's one fear that can be good. Make no mistake. The Bible, one of its most frequent commands is to not be afraid, okay? The Bible is littered with God commanding his people to not be afraid. But there is one fear that is good. When I was in high school. I was on my way to Appleton North. If you know, northbound on Ballard to Appleton North is an accordion of high schoolers. You know, those cars stack up, turn it into Lightning Road, which is, there wasn't a light there when I was in high school. And we were driving, and I was, hey, you know, I'm a pretty good driver in high school. I was giving like a full 2 bicycle lengths between me and that other car. I mean, it was like, there was 2, maybe 2.5. But listen, it wasn't my fault. Here's the thing. Okay, it's not funny. All right, it's funny, but it's not. So the guy in front of me is a friend of mine. I can see through the thing, through the back windshield. It's him and his girlfriend's in the passenger seat, and they're just gazing into each other's eyes. They're just, you know, they've got his hand on the wheel. He's just looking at his girlfriend, just gazing into her eyes, just sweet nothings, you know. And she's looking at him. She's not holding on to anything. She's just, you know, sitting there looking at him. And I'm like, I'm kind of disgusted by it. It's like, ah. So anyway, I'm kind of got that going on. And of course, he didn't see the car in front of him had stopped. So he just, boop, fender bender, ran right into him. And not bad, just a little fender bender. But what I didn't know is there were 6 other cars in front of him that beep, 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 beep. They all got hit, all of them. Just little fender benders, right? Well, what did I do? I joined the party. And they deserved it. So I may have stepped on the gas a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. I did not do that. But I did. I hit them. You know, I didn't see any brake lights because they didn't break. They just boop, hit the car. And anyway, what I learned that day is this. If you're in the insurance business, right, or the law enforcement, you know this, that if you're the last car in the pileup, you know, you're responsible for all the cars. You get stuck holding the bag. So look, I learned this that day, that if you're, listen to me, this is good. If you're the last car in the pileup, just quick, throw that thing in reverse, psh, beep, hit the guy behind you, just real quick, just a little tap. Just need a little bit. Doesn't need to be hard. I know, it's not legal, but your pastor said it's okay. So here's what I did from that day on. From that day on, man, I never followed that close. I don't know. I just had this fear of like, it's gonna happen again. I'm gonna get in this little fender bender thing. I'm gonna get stuck holding the bag again. I just left a lot more space between me and that car. I just had this fear. Like I had this newfound discomfort, when I got too close to the car in front of me. That's called a healthy fear. The Bible puts it like this in Proverbs chapter 28. This is what God's word says. It says, blessed, there's blessing. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God. I wish I could tell you that that word trembles is like, well, it just means a deep respect or a reverence, but it doesn't. I'm not gonna try to pour water on it. We'll unpack what that means, but the truth is there's a healthy fear. There's a healthy fear before God, but whoever hardens their heart, whoever assuages that fear, finds themselves, falls into trouble. You see, here's what we learn, is that there are untold amount of accidents, an untold amount of blessings that I have obtained from having that healthy discomfort when I get too close to a car. There are a long list of accidents and troubles I have avoided and not fallen into because I have a healthy discomfort between me and that car in front of me. Listen to me, what I'm talking about today is that there is blessing across the border from a healthy fear of the Lord. There's blessing across that border. When you begin to acquire this and take this on, it's a good thing. So I'm asking not to be, we gotta leave here. Let's stop being afraid of a healthy fear of the Lord. We'll talk about what that is, but we gotta embrace it. But here's the really nefarious part. It says, whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. Here's what it means. It's not gonna feel like trouble until you've already fallen in it. It's not gonna feel like trouble until you're in it. You see, it's actually gonna feel more comfortable. When you have a harder heart, it's comfortable. You know, to have a healthy, trembling comfortable? Is that comfortable to do? No, but a hardened heart, that's comfortable. Listen, there are a list of things in my life that I know, man, I was comfortable with that I realized led me into some trouble and I didn't know it until I was in trouble. Listen, you get a fender bender, you hit the car in front of you. The problem wasn't the accident, it was that the last 5 miles you were trailing them. That's where the problem started. And God's waving a flag today. He's saying, don't be afraid to tremble, to have a healthy fear of me. Okay, so let me unpack it this way. My daughter, she's 2. We talked about her. Don't be mistaken by the cute Facebook photos. She is a sinner, okay? Do not be mistaken. We love her. We're praying for her. She's gonna get back to us on rent. She hasn't paid yet, but we're keeping track. So, no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, she's great. She loves the mall, and it's one of her favorite places. She loves to run around the mall. We do all kinds of fun stuff. There's ice cream at the mall. We love to like, hey, let's go get some ice cream. We go to Gloria Jean's or whatever, get a Cold Stone, get some ice cream. We also like to do, there's this play area in our food court. Fox River Mall's got this food court, and then there's like this little play area for kids where they've got these plastic, rubbery, like animals that apparently only kids can play on, whatever. So I'm over it. But anyway, there's these things. She loves playing on those. There's these fuzzy little motorcycle things you can scoot around on in the mall. You've seen these things that sometimes grown men just drive around on. I don't know. I've heard they do that. I don't know. But my daughter is sitting on it, and I'll ride it with her. And they have. You notice this though? Did anyone notice this? They have quarters, like slots for quarters. And what's that about? Right? I go up thinking, okay, we'll throw some quarters in the thing. It's like $100 for like 15 minutes to use the stupid thing. So they got me with the quarters. Hey, Addie, you want to ride this thing? Oh, it's $100. Okay. Anyway, I got all kinds of bitterness in my life. I'm just airing out here today. So we're friends. This is the 11 o'clock hours. So these are my people. Okay. Anyway, listen. So she loves it. She loves them all. Of course this happened though. As a parent, I feel like we've all kind of been there. We're sitting there, we're watching her, and we look away. I'm telling you, it was like 1 second, maybe 3.5 seconds. I don't know, it was so fast. We look back, she's in the play area in the food court, and she's gone. Takes the wind out of you, right? As a parent, this is the day, right? We look, minutes, seconds turn quickly into minutes, and that's an eternity when you can't find. She's 2, guys. She's 2. She doesn't know her last name. She doesn't know her address. She doesn't know where she is. She's got no concept of time, and you know how this is, parents. Your imagination goes into overdrive. You go from 0 to 100 fast, and I'm just picturing stuff. Like, I'm like, she's crying. She's hurt. I'm looking out in the parking lot. Like, did she run out in the parking lot? I'm picturing her, like, hurt. I'm picturing her sad. I'm picturing her lost. I'm picturing my baby girl crying out for mommy and daddy. And no, she can't explain it. She can't explain even how to get back. And I'm running through the mall, and all the horror stories are just run through your head. And minutes turn it like 4 minutes, which is a long time, like 5 minutes. I'm asking people. I'm emotional. I'm out of breath. I'm totally emotionally unglued. I'm just like emotional thinking about it. I'm asking people, have you seen my little girl? She's this big pink dress. She's adorable. I'm just running. Hannah's carrying Elias, and we're jogging through the mall just yelling. Turn a corner, and at the very far end of this corner, man, she made it all the way down there. There she is, dancing, laughing, playing, you know, and a group of adults around her like, does this belong to anybody? You know, it's that awkward moment. I just run up to her, give her a big hug. I'm at this point, everything's come unglued, so I'm like, I'm losing it emotionally. I'm just crying and hugging her. This is a bad fear I'm gonna give you right now. I want you to leave it here. I don't want you to take this one with you when you leave today. It's the fear that God's love, the love of your Heavenly Father, will ever stop chasing you, that it will ever stop pursuing you, that it will fail you. This is the way David puts it in Psalm 147. The Lord delights in those who fear him. Make no mistake. We're gonna talk about fearing the Lord. That's important, but David knows. You gotta be quick to explain. Don't ever question if God's love will be unavailable to you tomorrow. Don't ever question whether or not God's love will fail you when you need it. Do not question that. While you should fear the Lord, do not fear that God's love will be unavailable to you tomorrow, that you will outsin it. Listen, I'm a B-minus dad at best, but there was nothing stopping me from chasing my daughter down. There was nothing that was going to keep me. Minutes could turn into hours. Hours could turn into days. I was going to find my baby girl. I would have run to a burning building with her, and I'm a B-minus dad. Can you imagine the burning, white, hot love of your heavenly Father? Don't ever question whether or not his love will be available to you when you need it. It will not fail you. God, if you mine, listen to me, if you mine any motivation from a fear, if you mine any motivation to do morally good things today out of a fear that you need to secure more of God's love, that's a bad fear. The Bible doesn't give you permission to have that fear. But I had to do something that day that as a parent, you've had to do. If you're a parent, you've probably had to do this. But I this was my first time. I had to bend down and get eyeball to eyeball with my baby girl who I love, this adorable little Adeline, who's all smiles. You know, she's just having a good time. And I had to look her right in the eyes. I had to do something I've never had to do. I had to create fear. I had to create a healthy fear in this little girl that should she ever just run away and leave the leadership and the direction of her mom and dad, that is dangerous and it is not a game. I said, Adeline, don't ever be afraid that your parents, your mommy and daddy will ever stop chasing you and will ever stop trying to find you, but do not leave our leadership. The mall is not a place for a two-year-old little girl to just run through. You need our leadership and our direction. Do not think otherwise. It's not a game. It can be dangerous. I know when I command and tell you to stay close or to not run into that store, I know you think I'm trying to kill your fun. I'm trying to help you have the best possible experience. I'm trying to keep you safe. It's not to ruin your day. It's to keep you safe. Here it is. This is the first good fear. This is the fear of the Lord means this. Part of it means that sin always worse than you think it is. However bad you think sin is, it's worse. This is how the Bible puts it in 1 Peter 5. Be alert. Don't be apathetic. Don't harden your heart. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Listen, the mall's neutral, okay? The mall's not prowling around. But we live in a world where there is an enemy. And let me tell you something. Some of us, just like my daughter, we're dancing around. We're having a good time. We're not alert. We're not of sober mind. In fact, we have a hard heart towards sin. It's not that bad. And here's the thing. It wants to eat you. And God's waking you up today saying that thing wants to eat you. But it won't tell you until you're in trouble. It's going to prowl. Sin doesn't walk around like a bumbling fool saying, hey, I'm sin. Let's hang out. This is going to suck. Sin doesn't do that. That's not what sin does. Sin comes up to you and it probably doesn't feel bad. What I want us to do today is I want us to understand the fear of the Lord includes a very healthy fear of a life lived deviating from the commands of God. That's called sin. Why? Because there's an enemy out there that would love to devour you. And he's going to use sin to do it. There are a long list of things, man, that they started out fine. They weren't that big a deal, right? That's what I told myself. And they ate my lunch. Right? I'll put it to you this way. My high school friend and I, we were in high school, we were out hiking in Colorado. I was at a conference in Colorado, and we said, hey, let's hike up this mountain. And you guys know I'm a really big outdoorsy guy. That wasn't supposed to be a joke, but I guess it's true. Look at me, I'm wearing canvas shoes in the middle of winter. So obviously I'm not an outdoorsy guy. But anyway, we were out hiking this mountain. We're up the side of this mountain, and man, you know, we don't know what we're doing. We're on this trail and we didn't check weather, you know, classic high school, right? And a storm came up, a bad storm came up. And let me tell you something, few experiences in your life will remind you how small you are than when you are exposed in the elements to a bad storm. If you've ever been there, it is, you don't wish that upon anybody. You start saying, Lord, if you get me out of this, I mean, it's terrifying. And we were in the bad one. We were in a mountain in the clouds. You talk about like thunder and lightning being around you. I felt like it was like below me. I mean, we're in a mountain in the clouds. The wind is rushing. I'm soaked. I mean, bad rain, sideways rain, trees are cracking. And it was the lightning seemed to just be all around us, like chasing us. And we're running down this trail. We're not even really looking for a trail. We're just looking for some kind of shelter. And so we just happened to find this nook. It was like a nook in the side of the mountain. It wasn't even a cave. And we just pressed into it and we got out of those elements. Man. Well, the Bible puts it like this. Psalm 130, David, veteran of our faith, says, Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who, oh Lord, could survive that storm? Man, here's the thing. Like, I have friends I love who they are spiritually undecided, or they're atheists or agnostic, and I love them, and we hang out and do stuff, but they don't believe in God, and they believe things that, I'll be honest with you, like really logical, like logic just totally rails against things they would say. You know, like they'll say things like there's no such thing as an absolute moral truth, right? There's no such thing as that, which is like, that's like a self-refuting statement. Like there's no such thing as absolutes, which is an absolute statement, right? So, but it blows your mind, right? Like you're like, that's not, you don't look at this world, this building, say, look at this building. This must just happen by accident. But yet we do that with the complexity of the human body and the world and the physics we live in. This isn't that complex compared to that. And yet we don't look at it and say, where'd it come from? We know someone had to build it. There had to be a creator. It's like crazy. It's so perpendicular to logic, but I get why they do it. I get it. I understand why. Because let me tell you something. If you believe in a creator God who made all this, and you believe they have a moral standard, you wouldn't be able to get up in the morning with the crippling horror of the reality. You don't hit that. You don't hit that standard. But the God of the Bible, if you know the God of the Bible, you can get up in the morning, because that verse doesn't end there. David writes, but you offer forgiveness. Here's a bad fear. Don't ever fear that when you ask or go to God for forgiveness, he's going to withhold it from you. That is not the God of the Bible. The Bible, who could withstand the storm of all of our sins? But the God of the Bible offers a refuge. It's Jesus. He forgives your sins. He gave you an out. Listen to me right now. Some of you are in a storm and you know it. It's chaos. There's lightning everywhere around. It's a chaos. And you know, ultimately, it's because you disobey God. It's because you don't care about sin. And it's because you know you do things that are perpendicular to his command. You know it. And it's a storm. And God's here today going, I got a shelter for you. It's my forgiveness. It's enough. My forgiveness. Come on in. Get out of the storm. I forgive you. Press into the mountain of my love. The mountain of my forgiveness. It can handle anything that wind blows. It can handle any lightning strike. It can handle it. You name the sin, I can forgive it. That's the God of the Bible. And then look at what it says. David knows. He's so smart. That's why he's a veteran of the faith. He gets it. God illuminated this for him. Look at how this verse finishes up. Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who could survive that storm? But you offer forgiveness that we might learn to fear. Man, there is so much abundant blessing across the border. This healthy fear of the Lord, isn't it? You see, it's the way we learn how to fear him. You see, every other kind of fear in the world is corrosive, right? Like, it causes anxiety. My wife's a counselor. I know this. There's a lot of anxiety. It causes anxiety. It causes us to doubt, right? It causes us to lose hope. It causes us to have despair. I mean, that's every other kind of fear. And the Bible commands against all of those. But there is one kind of fear that actually brings peace. It's the fear of the Lord. Here's let me put it to you this way. When I got into the side of that mountain, I had an emotion change. There was like, I had a change of emotion. See, I went from being in that storm and running through it, scared out of my mind, truly, like irrational fear. I mean, I was fear to the point of I couldn't think straight, chaos. But then when I got up into that nook, and as the seconds gave way to minutes, something happened to that, my relationship with that storm. You see, that storm that was a place of horror and terror and confusion and despair, it became actually a bit of, it wasn't just peace, it kind of became this thing of awe and wonder and a picture of the majesty and the glory of God, right? You ever been in a big building or even your cozy little home and the storm's coming, you're kind of like, oh, storm's coming. You know, right when you're going to bed at night, that storm kind of comes in. Some of you, you've got like sound machines that help you sleep and you actually put on Stormy Night, right? It's like soothing. Think about this. You're in the storm and it's chaos. You go to bed at night and you're in the shelter of your own house and it's suddenly a thing that soothes you, right? This is the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord brings peace because here's what it is. The fear of the Lord is we dare not run away. God is so holy. He is so powerful. He's so loving. He's so forgiving. We dare not step out into that storm again. See, you could hear all that I'm saying and be like, wow, if God's love doesn't fail you, if he doesn't withhold his love, if he doesn't withhold his forgiveness, people are just gonna run out and sin. Not the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is that I don't wanna run into that storm. I don't wanna run into that. I'm afraid of getting too far to the edge because lest I run away from the commandments and the leadership of God in my life. And then I got lightning all around me again and chaos. No, I'm gonna stay in the peace, the sanctuary of God's mighty, powerful mountain of forgiveness and grace and love in my life. I'm just not gonna do it. So here's where we end. There's two kinds of people in this room right now. There's two kinds of people in this room with this topic. First is this. Some of you right now are in a storm. You are in a storm. You've made a mess of your life with your decisions and you don't think it can be redeemed. You don't think it'll ever be something that you'll stand back and say, wow, look at the majesty of God. That's the furthest thing from what you would describe of your life. It's a storm. It's chaos. Nothing makes sense. It's confusing. It's despairing. And God right now, this morning, is raising a flag going, hey, I've got a nook. Come on into the cave. My mountain can handle it. Come on inside. I want to forgive you. I want to forgive it all. Come with me. Because of Jesus on the cross, you can accept that right now. You don't have to spend another minute in that storm. Come on into the mountain of my forgiveness and my love and my leadership in your life. Second kind of person in this room right now is the kind of person who's, and frankly, this is me, right? Like, this is where God's been at in my life. Where God right now, your Heavenly Father, is getting down on one knee right now. He's looking at you right in the eyes. He's saying, listen, I'll never stop chasing you. I love you. I've been chasing you all along. But right now, you're dancing. You're having a fun time with something that wants to eat you. And right now, it doesn't feel like that. I know I'm talking to you right now, and you're like, it doesn't feel like that. I know. And God, in his salvific grace, is raising a flag right now. He's saying, I'm here to tell you, you're playing with fire. It's not a game. It wants to hurt you, and I love you. I'm not trying to scare you for the sake of scaring you. I'm trying to remind you of how dangerous it is living apart from my leadership, running from my commands, and I love you too much than to not help you get it this morning. Look, I'm a pastor. I want to be liked. I don't want to preach uncomfortable messages, but I think if we're doing it right today, we leave here less comfortable than when we came in, if we're staying true to God's word. So that's my prayer. That's my hope. All of us. God loves you. He's chasing you. Let me tell you something. Some of you, I'm asking for God for it to not be true, but some of you will remember this day when the storm comes. You'll remember. I mean, God's raising a flag at you. He's saying, turn around, do a U-turn, and you're not going to do it. I want you to remember when the storm comes, run into the mountain of God. And don't leave. Don't do that. God loves you. Don't do that with God. He'll chase you. He'll provide forgiveness. He'll always offer it, but don't do it. God's raising a flag. He's got a better plan for your life than that. But my prayer, it's for a lot of us. He's going to write a different story. Today, God's going to write a different story. You went home. Something that was comfortable, something that you didn't think was a big deal, you're gonna make a big deal of it, and you're gonna do a U-turn. And because of God's grace, you're gonna find shelter in his love. You're gonna enjoy the mall with your heavenly dad. You're gonna have fun. It's gonna be good. There'll be times where you're like, God, you're stealing my fun. Why are you telling me to do this? And he's gonna remind you of this day. No. I'm saving your life. My commandments are good. Let's pray. God, in a room this size, I know there's a storm raging in some people's lives, but I believe today you've offered them a cave inside the mountain of your love, the mountain of your forgiveness. They know you offer forgiveness for all the stuff that they've made a mess out of. Lord, you forgive all of it. It's just the mountain's too big of your forgiveness. There's nothing that wind, there's nothing that lightning can handle. In fact, they will look back on it and they'll see it differently. They will see their sin as a place of your redemption. They'll see their mess as a place of your beautiful restoration. They'll see it as a place of ministry, as a place that it empowered them to go and do things they otherwise couldn't do because you got a hold of their life and you turned it around. Lord, you made the storm beautiful. And God, I pray that they would press into your mountain and they'd never want to leave. There'd be a healthy fear of even coming close to the border of that threshold. And God, I do pray for those that are dancing right now they feel fine, but they know they're living perpendicular to your leadership and your commands and categories of their life. I pray, Lord, you would arrest them with a spirit-filled discomfort. I can't do it, Lord. I can't say enough scary things to make them uncomfortable. The Holy Spirit, we need you to give us a spirit-filled discomfort. Do that spiritual work, Jesus, right now, so that we could enjoy the peace of having a healthy fear of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.